Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the beautiful day you've blessed us with and oh so many blessings. Now please be with us as we get into your word. Help us to understand it and apply it in the right way. Draw close to you. Build our faith and trust in you and in your word. Thank you oh so much for all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Know that book of Corinthians or 1 Corinthians here is the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, teaching him various things. Corinth was an interesting place, very busy and hustle bustle, and they had a lot of distractions, a lot going on in that city. But here he's teaching us about love in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, where it reads, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," and this is talking about Paul coming to the church at Corinth, "came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Of course, the Spirit talking about the Holy Ghost. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, giving us knowledge and understanding of the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. And those that love him are revealed that by way of the wisdom that comes from God through the power of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. All right, now go on over to 2 Corinthians, the second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, into chapter 13. Pick it up in verse 11. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." An awesome way to conclude the second letter there to the church at Corinth, acknowledging the love of God, and that we should share that love with each other and greet each other as ones that care for each other. All right, now go over to Galatians. Now here again is a letter of Paul to the church at Galatia. And here we find some verses concerning the spirit of love. In Galatians chapter 5, let's pick it up in verse 14. Galatians 5, verse 14, where it reads, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we know the two great commandments that the Lord emphasized and we go to quite often because he did point them out very specifically that they were the two great commandments, where it says over in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 through 40, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, Paul over here in the book of Galatians, talking to them concerning love, has already established that the first qualifier is to love God, and then as a born-again Christian, as a person that is sharing the love of God, you are fulfilling the law in the second part that the Lord talked about, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Once again, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Just like the Lord said over in Matthew, that covers all the law, it covers all the prophets, it covers all the commandments. When we have the love of God primarily, and then we turn around and share that love and love others as ourselves. Verse 15, But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You wouldn't think that would be going on with Christians if they truly were expressing the kind of love that we're supposed to have for God and for His adopted family, which we become a part of. Then we should have that love one for another. But you see exactly what he's talking about here going on a lot among Christians. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We see strifes, we see divisions, we see church splits, we see multiple denominations. It shouldn't be that way. We should come together in a common love. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's the clue. The problem is the lust of the flesh that causes those divisions. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, this flesh is most time displayed in the pride and the arrogance, the haughtiness, the self-righteousness. Those are among the sins in the flesh, not just what you might think of as physical desires or adultery or fornication, but the other things as well. That pride and arrogance and haughtiness, piety, that self-righteousness, those are all sins of the flesh as well. And those many times are things that cause divisions and splits among the Christians. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he gets into what we commonly think about in the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rivalings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Clear and simple. Those are the things of the world. Those are the things of the flesh. They're not supposed to be part of a walk in a Christian's walk. We are to display the fruit of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, as he tells us further here in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See if we truly have the kind of love we're supposed to have, and share that love one with another, these things will be displayed when we really yield to the influence of the Holy Ghost that is within us. That love will be right up there at the top. And in that, we'll have joyfulness. And there'll be peace among the people. Long-suffering means patience and gentleness dealing with one another. Not bitterness and strife. It means goodness and faith. Truly trusting in the Lord. Meekness. That's that power of influence under control. Temperance. That holding that temper down. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. See, he goes right on back around to the key points of the divisions of many Christians, is that envy and that vain glory that they want, provoking one another. Shouldn't be that way. But that's where that pride and arrogance and haughtiness and self-righteousness all comes in there. Greediness, jealousy, so many things that can cause arguments and divisions and church splits. And it just shouldn't be. Shouldn't be even thought of amongst the Christians. But yet we sure see a lot of that going on. All right, now go to the book of Ephesians, another letter of Paul's to the church at Ephesus. And here, let's pick it right up in Ephesians chapter 1. So it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I like the way he points out that he is an apostle by the will of God. It wasn't that he sought a career as an apostle. Now, he did at one time hold the position of a Pharisee, but he was against the Lord. He was against the teaching of Jesus Christ. He was going around trying to hunt down Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to be horribly tortured and killed. But he was saved on the road to Damascus by the Lord. So by his will, he became a Christian and an apostle, sent out to spread the gospel. And that's so awesome that he points that out there. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That complete and total love for him and the love one for another. And then right into Ephesians chapter 2, pick it up in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, this letter is going to the church at Ephesus, talking about the Christians. And Christians are born again. And quickened means to be brought back to life. So we are brought back to life spiritually when we become a Christian. And the Holy Ghost comes into us and brings us back to life spiritually. And that's who this is being addressed to, the entire letter. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is talking about Satan. He used to walk in hand with him. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, here he's reminding us of where we came from. He does that quite often in his writings. And we should always remember where we came from. Don't let it keep you down or hold you back from serving the Lord, but know that you had a past that was not pleasing to the Lord, and by grace, He can erase that, take that from us, and make us clean. But don't walk in that sins of the past. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we acknowledge that we are saved by grace. It isn't that you decide you want to become a Christian and then you start cleaning yourself up and you get so perfect, you get so righteous that then you qualify to be a Christian. No, it don't work that way. You cannot work your way to salvation. Otherwise, it would be something that you could boast over or brag about. Look what I have achieved. I have worked myself to salvation. No, it's by grace. It's by unmerited favor. The love and grace and the mercy of the Lord shines upon us, and that is what we can boast about, the grace and the mercy of God, not the fact that we've earned our salvation. We can earn rewards, we can earn blessings and so forth, yes, but we cannot earn salvation. That is a gift of God. Let's read that again. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can't brag about it being something that you have achieved. Nope. Because if it was something you could work your way toward, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come down and pay the price of all sin. All right, now go to Ephesians chapter 3 and pick it up in verse 14, where it reads here, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, revealing to us the will of the Lord and making us aware of the love of God in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that love of Christ, acknowledging and knowing what He has done for us, is clearly understanding the kind of love that He has for us. And that fullness, that full indwelling Spirit, which gives us all those fruits of the Spirit, can be a part of that when we truly have that kind of love we're supposed to have for God and for others. And verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So it's a love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It's like it's beyond our understanding how much love the Lord has for us and has displayed and has shown His love for us through His finished work. We need to acknowledge that, know that, have faith in that, and accept that, and then share that with others as well. All right, now go right on into Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. See, he's re-emphasizing there that we need to really have the kind of love amongst the family of God that brings honor and glory to the Lord, brings peace and joyfulness among the people. It reads, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles. Now in chapter 4, verse 11, he gets into some of the positions that he has granted by grace to the Christians to have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Just like Paul made a reference earlier that by the will of God he has been chosen to be an apostle. And here he's further speaking about that, how some are chosen to do various things. Once again, verse 11. And he gave some apostles. Now this giving is talking about the gifts unto men, the gifts of opportunities to serve. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, that's what they're given for. It's a shame that many take the various positions and opportunities that the Lord gives them to serve and wind up twisting them around and using them for their own gain, for their own selfish desires to be fulfilled, which is wrong to do such a thing. But we saw lots of examples to that through the ages. And the purpose of the position that the Lord has given each person, whatever it might be, is important. We come together as the body, unified, is what we should be. And it is for the perfecting of the saints, as he says up there in verse 12 again, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here he's telling everybody to grow up already. And you sure see a lot of immaturity when it comes to the children of God. In the churches and in the family and the body of Christ, there's a lot of immaturity because we all start out as babes and we need to grow. So here he's telling us all to grow up. You know, pay attention. Don't stay a baby all the time. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The truth in love. The truth that can be found in the Word of God and by listening to the guidance of the Holy Ghost, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the unity that can be a part of the kingdom of God, the body of believers, to come together as a body, working together, not apart, working in unity, not individually trying to achieve their own selfish goals. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Like, if you have actually listened to and heard the call of the Holy Ghost to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and become a born-again Christian, quickened, brought back to life spiritually, if you have done that, then let go of the things of the past, of the lustful desires of the flesh. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's part of the problem. People build an addition onto their home and invite the devil back in. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we ignore him, or when we go contrary to the work that he wants us to do, when we go contrary to the love and have the bitterness and strife. Because he tells us in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That malice is intent to do harm. There are people that say things against people specifically to do them harm, to hurt them. Shouldn't be that way. And do other things to hurt individuals or groups. Shouldn't be that way. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. When we do that, then we are truly the children of God. Just like he starts out right there in chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk as the Lord wants us to walk. Share that love. Have that awesome love that he has available to us. And use it in such a way that it overflows out of us into those around us. Share that love that he has shown us and given us and displays to us, and we should then in turn display that to others. Very simple. We just got to open up and let it flow right on through us into everyone that we encounter, especially the family of God, come together in unity to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the love, the awesome love that you display and the awesome love that you pour upon us each and every day. Help us to really recognize that, acknowledge that, and then in turn share it with everyone else. Thank you all so much for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.